outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Hello and welcome to Domstock Film Club Audiocast. We're doing a Christmas special because, amazingly, it's Christmas. So as usual, we've got Stephen Orell and Mark Buckley with us. And we're going to talk about the best Christmas films in our heads anyway. And why, what makes a Christmas film a Christmas film? So first off, I think we should go straight to Mark Buckley to find out what his top Christmas films are. Mark.
Okay, thank you. I guess mine fall into three categories. You've got the idealistic Christmas, which is, films like Love Actually.
Oh.
And, I know, isn't it sweet? Oh. All saccharine-y and, you know.
He learns Portuguese.
I love being at the airport. He does. Can you believe it? And then the Prime Minister.
I'm going to say, sorry to interrupt you straight away. Actually, I'm not, sorry.
But it's all right.
That is, what's his name? In the car.
Hugh Grant.
Hugh Grant, that's one of his best roles. I really like him in that. Him playing the Prime Minister is hilarious. But the best thing about that is the cards and the carol singing music. You know that scene near the end? Keira Knightley standing at the door. Egg, or now walking dead bloke. He's standing there with the cards, telling how he really feels. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it is good. It's a great film that's schmaltzy, but it's very well done, which is why it's in there. And then you've got the comedy ones as well, like Elf and A Muppet Family Christmas falls into that category as well. And you've got, the classics, A Christmas Carol, perhaps.
Mm.
And then you've got the reality, which is probably National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. because that's the one that's closest to Christmas in my house.
Oh, my Lord.
I know, it's terrifying, isn't it? So there's those ones. And then there's the films which kind of remind me of Christmas as I was growing up. And there's two there, really. And the thing is, I'd be hard-pushed to say that I'd seen them on Christmas Day more than once, and they are The Great Escape and The Spy Who Loved Me. So that's kind of my top seven or eight Christmas films.
Is The Spy Who Loved Me the Lamborghini?
It's the Lotus Esprit Turbo that goes underwater. I'm convinced to this day it was on Christmas Day in about 1980, 1979-ish maybe. But I believe that Stephen's got his collection of TV Times out that dates back to about the 1950s, so I'm sure he'll have those to hand and he can run us through them.
You read your Times, not...
oh, sorry, I didn't know.
There's a monopoly on BBC channels.
unbelievably, how many channels did we have back then? Not in the 50s, because obviously none of us were born in the 50s.
When I was looking, I was surprised to see that I forgot that Channel 4 started in 82.
Wow.
So we had a busy number of four in 82. But by then it was 13, 14, so we weren't bothered with TV. But up until then it was three TV stations that all went off around midnight.
Well, actually, did Channel 4? Because didn't they stay up and do the Red Triangle?
No, I'm saying there was three channels that went off at midnight. Then when we got Channel 4... I don't know about any triangle.
I remember that, the Red Triangle.
I do. I was playing
it.
Yeah.
Oh, that formative moments in my life. Anyway,
watching an hour and a half of a foreign film in the hope of seeing a boob.
Yeah. Watching about 5 minutes and bring a fast forward button on record.
Why do you think we reviewed Life Force?
Is that where it came from?
There were a couple of cracking ones. Anyway, you've highlighted an interesting point, Mark, that I think we all agree about, is there are really two distinctly different types of Christmas movies. There's the movies about Christmas, and then there's the movies that show on Christmas so often that we associate them with Christmas, or have done in the past. Because it's interesting, because all three of us have got our own films you associate with Christmas that aren't Christmas films. Because you mentioned Great Escape and Spy Love Me. I remember The Great Escape as a Christmas film. The one that kept showing every time on Christmas. And I think as well, what was the other one I was mentioning? There was The Magnificent Seven. Stephen, you talked about The Sound of Music as one of those films, didn't you?
Yeah, you'd mentioned
The Wizard of Oz. That's the one, The Wizard of Oz. Always on every Christmas. And because we saw them at Christmas, it just became a Christmas movie.
Yeah, and I'm really going to show my age here because until about 1984, I always thought The Wizard of Oz was all in black and white. Because whenever it was on telly, I used to watch it at my gran's house and she only had a black and white TV.
Oh.
Yeah. So the first time I saw that in colour, I was like, oh my God.
I bet you thought those just have gone and colourised it.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it. And because the colours are really saturated as well. It looked really false. But yeah, I always thought until, my mid-teens, it was in black and white.
Okay, I'm going to do my list then, which I think shares a couple of yours as well. My list, top there, is It's a Wonderful Life. I know. Standard response probably from a lot of people. It'll probably be in just about 99% of people's Christmas film lists. Then I've got Scrooged, which I absolutely adore, with Bill Murray. I just love that film. The thing I wish is I'd seen that on release day or the first time it showed in the cinema that first week. And I was in the cinema when he does that bit when he talks to the audience at the end. And just to see if everyone got him joined in, that would have been awesome if they did. Muppet Christmas Carol, like you mentioned. Oh, no, you mentioned a different one, didn't you? A Muppet Family Christmas.
I chose A Muppet Family Christmas, which was made for TV, but it was Jim Henson's last appearance in it's something related to the Muppets, and they all go round to Fozzie Bear's mum's house for Christmas in my one, and they're joined by the guys from Sesame Street and the guys from Fraggle Rock.
Oh, do they have Snuffleupagus?
No, because I don't think he was in Sesame Street at the time, but I'm not 100% sure on that, but it's just a great, great Christmas thing. And of course, the Swedish chef is in the kitchen making the Christmas dinner, and then Big Bird walks in, and he's like, oh, turkey. And brings out this big dish and, similar thing, but a little bit more slapsticky and stuff. It's good fun. So, but there again, Muppets films are.
So it's got less of a Christmas story to it than I guess, because Christmas.
Yeah, it's more about a family gathering, which is lovely. So
I don't think I've ever seen that. Well, I went for a Muppet Christmas Carol anyway, and then Miracle on 34th Street. And I would say the original more than the remake. Because there's a bit too much soft focus in that for me. It's that actress, what's her name, Elizabeth Thingy, that was in Big.
Shoe.
No.
Oh. God, what's that?
I keep thinking of Berkeley, but it's not. No. Anyway.
Yeah,
you all know what I mean. She was always in soft focus in that film. It really annoyed me. I hate that. Anyway, Miracle on 34th Street, the original. Nightmare Before Christmas, Tim Burton. That's a kind of Christmas tale turned on its head. Then I've got to pull in a couple of musicals. I've got White Christmas, stroke Holiday Inn there. Because White Christmas is iconic. It's got the iconic song. But Holiday Inn is another musical of that ilk that's very much a Christmas musical. It's just feel good. Then I've got The Great Escape. And I would probably actually put The Wizard of Oz would come in there as well, but I'm not a big fan of it anymore. I've seen it too much. And Love Actually. And that's my list. Stephen, what are your top Christmas films then?
Most of them are probably Christmas films. I mean, I've gone for Home Alone. We'll pick Christmas Carol as well. Is it Chris Sim, the Scrooge, the original one? Alistair Sim.
Alistair Sim, yeah.
Sim in Scrooge. I love A Charlie Brown Christmas. I mean, it's a half-hour cartoon, so I wonder if it counts as a film. But I love that. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. I enjoy it. Films that probably aren't Christmas, but I mean, Gremlins and Die Hard, they're at Christmas. I don't necessarily think they're Christmas films, but I associate them with Christmas.
Well said.
And The Sound of Music, that's another one that is very unsettling. there's snow in there, and I always think of Christmas Day when I see The Sound of Music.
Oh, there's not snow in there, is there? Or is it on the hills, on the Alps?
Yeah.
Is that the end when they're running, they escape through them or something, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not Christmas. It's just Switzerland in the Alps.
It's very cold anyway up there, I believe. So.
Yeah. Oh, and Bad Santa. I just watched that again today to make sure it was good. It's fantastic. So that will be on my Christmas
list. I've never seen Bad Santa.
You must.
Brilliant.
Don't get the family round. You know, that would grand.
To watch Bad Santa, or like a conversation the other night. Nine Souls.
Yeah.
As a Christmas film. No, that's not going to work.
No, Bad Santa, yeah, it's a good film. I've not mentioned The Snowman, and It's a Wonderful Life. I don't think. Oh, you mentioned It's a Wonderful Life, and it's not in my. I mean, it's a great film. But I think, you know, where you're fed up with The Wizard of Oz, I think it's built up a bit more now than it is A Wonderful Life. Maybe it's aging. And The Snowman. I mean, there's parts of The Snowman that are fantastic, but when they're not singing that song that was a hit, it's a bit dull.
I can't hear that song without thinking the Iron Brew advert now.
Yeah. And the Iron Brew advert's probably a little bit better with the way, I mean, especially now I live in Scotland. I mean, it's seeing all these places.
Well, that was much less contentious than the... we actually tried doing this before, and it didn't really work out, so we're having a second stab at this. But first time around, we just ended up bickering and arguing about three titles into the first list, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was mainly my fault.
Well, it's not fault. That just makes for a more interesting audio cast. Why don't you argue more?
Well, you know, I'm drunk.
So, anything on those lists that any of us disagree with?
I mean, those two films I mentioned, I can come back to them later. There are a couple of French films that have Christmas in the title, and they're at Christmas, yeah.
What couple of films you mentioned that were French?
Well, I've wrote down the French name. Merry Christmas is one of them.
Yeah, so when you said mentioned as opposed to wrote down, see, when you write them down prior to the show, nobody listening to the show can hear them.
No, I'm going to come back to that later. Well, I stopped recording. I thought I mentioned it.
Who stopped recording?
When I started going on about Facebook. Not...
Bloody hell, what's going on now?
Do you believe it?
What on earth? Have you fallen down the steps?
Oh, there's always something going on at Stephen's end.
Isn't it a good job we stopped? Because
one of them
got off.
Okay. Contentious things on that on those lists. I'll start then. I'll start the ball rolling by saying Die Hard is not a freaking Christmas film. There is a present at the start. There's a tree in the party. There's a Christmas song over the end credits. Oh, and there's a Christmas hat and a dead person and some tinsel.
Yeah, but I think, I mean, it's at Christmas Eve. It's about a guy getting back with his family, and Christmas is family. And there's a Christmas song at the end.
Yeah. That's hardly a Christmas film. There are loads of films about men getting back with their families and, or any family members getting back with their families. There's loads of films about people raiding towers named after Japanese people.
But I think we touched on this earlier. There's three kinds of Christmas films. There's films that are set at Christmas and about Christmas. I'm trying to think of... It's not going to sound right. There's films that we associate with Christmas that have nothing to do with Christmas. There's films that are about Christmas, Scrooge, Christmas Carol. Yeah. And then there's films like Die Hard and Gremlins that are set at Christmas and have that Christmas message.
What's the Christmas message?
Family, together.
Gremlins.
That Santa Claus got stuck up the chimney and died. That's the Christmas message in Gremlins, surely.
Don't water Santa after midnight.
No, I think I've got to say I'm with Stephen on this one. Die Hard is a Christmas film. It's got all the components of a great Christmas movie in there. It's got a really good male female lead in it who are trying to be together against all the odds at Christmas. It's got some kids involved. It's got
kids. You don't even see the kids.
Yeah, but they're there. You know, they're talked about, and that's what they're trying to get together for. And whether it's, you know, somebody conspiring against them or whatever. It's a Christmas flick.
Whether it's a German.
Central to that premise is let's have a jolly Christmas. So what? He's blown up Nakatomi Plaza or whatever. Yeah, that's by the by. That's, you know, that's just a plot device to say let's have a great Christmas. Family.
So if in Gone in 60 Seconds we sprinkled some snow in the background, we could say that's
and
a Christmas
cars
movie.
And sledges. Yeah.
No, I don't agree with that at all. It's just that there are elements around there that happen to be seasonal items. Let's see. The rest of the film, you could take that out and the film could be used anywhere. I think I used this example a little while ago. Last night, actually, we were talking about this, and I mentioned the example of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
That's a great film
at Thanksgiving in America. Right. And, yeah, there's some snow in the background. It's totally remade as Due Date, and even some scenes are almost identical. And there's no snow in it at all. Does that still a Christmas movie?
No.
But it's got the same feelings, the same idea, the same buddies trying to get to the end place, just because it's not set in Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you know, that critical piece of context is missing then, isn't it?
So
of course it's not a Christmas
film.
What
you're saying is I can have a two-hour movie where I just mention the word Christmas once, and boom, I'm a Christmas film.
But Christmas isn't just mentioned once in there.
Okay.
Christmas is mentioned all the
time. But in Die Hard, it is literally the appearance of a teddy, a piece of tinsel, tree in the background, a hat, and a Christmas song at the end credits.
Yeah, but he's there for Christmas. I mean, that's what he's doing in
Los
Angeles.
No, he's there with his family. You could transplant that to any time.
Yeah, but you don't meet your family in the middle of February, because it's the 10th of February. You'll go the 25th, Christmas Eve, for Christmas, and that's what he was doing.
So, okay, try this one then. If instead of the tree, they had a big cross, and then they were rolling chocolate eggs, and he was coming with a chocolate bunny, it's an Easter film. It's all about the religious aspects of Easter.
Yeah, but nobody does Easter films unless it's about the
crucifixion. Yeah.
So, I mean, you can't really use that as your analogy.
No, I think I can, because you can transplant that film to any time. It doesn't make it.
So you're saying
a film of that time. It doesn't make that a seasonal film.
So Die Hard, if you take out the bit that he's gone to see his kids at Christmas, and that he's trying to be with his family, and that it's snowing, and that it's Christmas Eve, if you take all that out, it's not a Christmas film.
No, I didn't say the bit about the kids, because he doesn't really go to see his kids. It's all implied for like a millisecond.
It's not. They're on the phone at some point.
Yeah.
You don't hear them.
He's on the phone with the nanny or whatever.
You're clinging to the tiniest of threads to make it a Christmas film.
No, not at all.
the whole film is home for Christmas. I'll agree with you. If you take out the snow, the Christmas songs, the fact that it's on Christmas Eve and he's seeing his family and there's presents, if you take that out, yes, it's not a Christmas
film. So why are you agreeing with things I never said? I said, if you take out the... I don't think I said there's snow, because I don't think there is snow in it. If you take out the present at the start, the piece of tinsel, the hat, the tree, you could probably get away with the tree and you wouldn't even notice it was a Christmas tree, actually, because I don't think it was a huge Christmas tree. And the song over the closing credits, then there's no association with Christmas.
Yeah, but to be fair, Richard, that's quite ridiculous, because that's like saying, if you take the spaceships and C-3PO out of Star Wars, you're left with a good,
no,
bad, and the
not
only.
Rubbish.
There's a bit more to it than that.
Rubbish. Because those two are integral characters and parts of the whole film. Whereas those aren't integral parts of Die Hard.
It's about the texture of the film, isn't it? And there's a lot more to it than you kind of saying, well, you know, there's five things that relate to Christmas in there. Because those five things run through the whole film.
I don't think they run through the whole film.
Oh,
The cuddly toy?
It's about him.
Cuddly toy doesn't run through the whole film.
His hair for Christmas.
You see it twice. The song is at the end.
They're at a Christmas party at the beginning. I know they could be at any party. But when they wrote this, they thought, let's make it Christmas Eve and let's make it. They've made it Christmas.
And actually, the party isn't about that, is it? Because it's more about the celebration of, and it's actually mentioned, it's a celebration of a big deal or something that they've clinched for the company. And also a part celebration about the tower itself. They actually say that quite early on. But the majority of Die Hard is about shooting, killing terrorists and him surviving against the terrorists.
And Christmas.
No.
It's an action Christmas
it's
film.
It's not an action Christmas film. Watch Scrooged and see the advert for Lee Majors. What is it? Lee Majors Saves Santa or something. That's an action Christmas film.
Yeah, but Scrooged is a terrible film anyway.
I'm just talking about the advert.
I don't remember.
It's not like Lee Major saves Christmas, and he's actually at the North Pole, and they're terrorists trying to take over Santa's place. They're holding him hostage, and Lee Major's running in, shooting everybody, killing them to save Santa. That's an action Christmas film.
I mean, if I was to argue against Die Hard being a Christmas film, the only thing I would have to me would be that it was released in July. It was a summer blockbuster, yet it's still a Christmas film. But that is the only thing you would ever say why it wasn't a Christmas film. Was a summer blockbuster released in July or August.
I think the fact that 99% of the film was not about Christmas, 99.9% of the film was not about Christmas, I think that wins it over, really.
But that's like saying 99% of Love Actually isn't about Christmas.
Well, there's a lot more that is, actually. Love, actually.
Yeah, but there's not... I bet there's not that much more there.
Yeah, there is. There's that whole... The whole nativity piece... That whole,
which must last for no more than 20 minutes.
The nativity piece and the bit before it, and also the... Isn't the end of the...
The Christmas single, yeah. Bill Nye's Christmas single.
Yeah, and that's all the way through it. So there's a little more to it than that. I still think that's on the edge, though.
Nah. Die Hard is most certainly a Christmas film. And it isn't about all those individual bits. It's about the thing as a whole.
Yeah, the guy fighting against the terrorists trying to kill him.
Oh,
well, that's not what it was. I mean, he ended up having to do that so he could be with his family.
Oh, gee whiz. Come now. Right, we're just going to keep going this. You two are going to say yes, and I'm going to say no.
Yeah.
And quite clearly, I'm right.
Well, we're obviously not. I mean, going back to what you mentioned earlier, you don't think Home Alone is a Christmas film either. Yeah?
No, I don't feel it's got a huge amount of Christmas spirit to it. And abandoned kids fighting against two thieves and possible paedophiles. No, I'm not really find any Christmas feeling in that. Apart from, you know, there's a lot more snow in it.
And it's Christmas, and there's family. And
there's the old man next door with a great Christmas tale. There's, you know, family trying to be together, coming back from wherever they are. Yeah, it's definitely not a Christmas film.
I can.
There's definitely no snow in there. There's definitely no presents in there. There's.
I don't know. I just said there was snow.
Yeah, I'm being sarcastic.
I know you are.
I think if you took out the snow and the tree and the fact that it was Christmas and next door was trying to be with his family, then it wouldn't be a Christmas. I mean, you could move the whole Home Alone to anywhere in the year.
You could, actually.
And again, it's at Christmas. There's Christmas songs. There's Christmas. There's everything we associate with Christmas.
I said, you know, if you took out some of those elements and then moved it to a large tower, you could have Die Hard.
Maybe you want to write to you, Boll, and suggest that, because I'm sure he'd make it.
No. I wouldn't like to correspond with that man at all, to be honest. He'll probably just decide to beat me up. Because he can't win an argument. So, let's move on, shall we?
Hmm.
What will we move on to, then?
Well, we've got The Great Escape on our list here. Or one of us has. And that's definitely not a Christmas film. So maybe we should discuss why, even though it's not a Christmas film, we all associate it with Christmas.
Yes. Maybe we should.
Because it was always on at Christmas, was it?
Yeah, it was, yeah. And I think that's what you said about The Spy Loved Me, Mark, and that's definitely the same for Great Escape. I do remember that being a real Christmas film.
And yeah, and then suddenly it became an Easter film. Because it was shown a couple of times at Easter. I remember that happening.
Yeah.
But for me, whenever it's on, you know, I think Christmas Day, you know, actually being allowed to watch a film is quite a rarity. You know, is that kind of one film rule before all the olds come round and stuff. And it was either the Bond film or The Great Escape.
Yeah, and it was interesting. You said something about why films became Christmas films, because we don't get that feeling anymore, do we? There's not a modern-day film that happens to be associated with Christmas because it's always shown there then.
I still think they're shown. I think ITV and BBC probably still show these films we would associate with Christmas. But any kids that are between 10 and 15 now aren't having that same. We were stuck with a couple of channels and we got, this is what you're going to watch. Whereas now kids will be getting DVDs for Christmas that aren't Christmas. I can imagine a lot of watching Avatar and Toy Story this Christmas. And other such.
All in 3D.
If not, they've still got, if they've even got Sky Movies, if not, they'll certainly have Film 4. ITV 1, 2, 3, the lobby showing, there'll be films everywhere.
Yeah. Well, Freeview, on a normal night, you can see about 9 or 10 films on Freeview alone in the UK.
Yeah. And pretty much any time of the day, you can get a film, especially around Christmas. Because back when we were little ones, and what made these films appear to be Christmas films now, looking back, because we were stuck with these films. The schedules had this, it's Christmas, let's put a film on it. It was never really a Christmas film. I think we'd been up to it, because we had a week off school before Christmas, and I remember there was lots of kids' TV during the day, and I suppose that's when we saw our Christmas film. But Christmas Day, these Christmas films were never Christmas films.
And it had to be as well, a real family film that pulled in all the family members, didn't it?
Yeah.
Whereas something like Great Escape does that, pulls in the younger kids because it's that kind of war adventure type thing, and then there's still a lot of adult levels to it that pull in the older or the middle-aged family members, and then the older family members just fall asleep through anything anyway.
Yeah, surprisingly, before we came on, I managed to find this website that has a lot of old TV listings, and I've pulled up 80 to 85 Christmas Day listings for BBC.
Ooh.
It's quite surprised at how little good films were on, even films we've thought.
Right, run us through the films available on Christmas Day, and when was it?
Well, 1981 on BBC, there was a film called Tom Thumb at 12:30.
Tom Thumb. Who's in that Tom Thumb?
It doesn't give a list. I don't have it.
No, give a year.
No, it just says film Tom Thumb.
I just wonder which one it is. And that tapping sound is me looking. What year would you think it would be? Oh, there's quite a few. 1936, 1958 maybe.
Yeah, I'd go for the 58 one. I seem to remember that, being around that
Peter
time.
Sellers was in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
Tom Thumb, played by Russ Tamblyn. Who's he? Just getting a picture up. Oh, yeah, you'd recognise him. Oh, yeah, he's still quite a famous actor. he said, trying to think of something that you'd recognise him from. But you would, as soon as you see his face, you'd recognise him. Anyway, okay, Tom Thumb, what do you think?
That was the 12:30 millennium. The big film at 4:10, which was normally after. I mean, you get the Queen's speech, you'd have your dinner, you'd get the Generation Game, and then a film came. And that was a Disney film, but I've never heard of it, In Search of the Castaways. Again, there's no year or any information other than...
In Search of the Castaways. Now, you'll probably realise that we've had no prior warning of what these films are.
I've only just managed to pull... I haven't thought of even looking, and I thought, well, I wonder if I can get old TV listing numbers coming on.
Yeah, plus you have to bear in mind that, in kind of Scotland at that time, I don't think there was telly. I think they're only just
like electricity. Listen, you two English people, Scottish people invented telly. You guys just invented the crap that goes on it. Hayley Mills was in that. She was in the original, isn't it? This has got to be a sequel to The Castaways. I can't believe I just said that. Of course, freaking sequel to The Castaways.
Well, that was the big film on BBC One. And then 9:30 later on, when the kids were getting tired and you wondered if Grandma was okay.
To get something racy and adult.
No, Lupo with Albert Finney and Martin Sheen.
Jesus.
Lupo.
Seriously, that was Christmas. That, they were the Christmas Day movies?
On BBC One in 1981.
So what was on ITV?
I could only get one ITV here. I do know the channel finished at 12:30. It was weather and clothes. But the night ended with a Christmas night with the Spinners, so you'd have been glad to have been in bed anyway. You'd have been glad they were turning it off.
I'm sure that the big films were always on ITV.
Well, yeah, they must have been. I think I've only got one ITV one. I'm going to quit more. ITV in 1981 was Dr. No. So I think ITV showed the
book. Oh, day one.
It also had the Muppet film later on in the day.
Which Muppet film?
It just says the Muppet film. Feature-length comedy with music, in which Kermit the Frog goes to Hollywood. Mel Brooks, Bob Hope, James Coburn, and Tammy Savalas. And then the 9:30 film was Harry and Walter Go to New York. Some big names, I mean, Diane Keaton, Michael Caine. ITV also closed at 12:20.
Bloody hell.
That's, you can understand now, people listening to that, with only four channels and that kind of selection of film on, you can understand why we would associate something like The Great Escape with Christmas.
Because it would have been every year.
It was, yeah. It was played just about every year as well. I remember The Wizard of Oz was played so often at Christmas that I just got sick of it, really sick of it. And I think to this day I can't watch it without going, oh, bloody hell, it's that Wizard of Oz again.
Glitterball was on in 1983 in the afternoon.
What
was that?
Glitterball was the film. That's all I've got. And then Treasure Island, after the Queen and Blankety Blank. And then the nighttime film was Better Late Than Never.
Was what?
Better Late Than Never.
Do you know what? I've never even heard of half these films.
Yeah, I do think I can't get ITV. I mean, BBC obviously never went near. Mary Poppins was on the year after. What year are we on now? 84. They showed Mary Poppins. They showed Blue Murder at St. Trinian's, and that would have been one of the old 50s ones.
Yeah, it's Terry Thomas won that, I think, isn't it?
Yuck.
And well, they just had Some Like It Hot Was at Night. But it was all Christmas specials of comedy. Not much change, really, for BBC.
Yeah, but you have to bear in mind that, you know, what did Morecambe and Wise pull in the Christmas special? Something like 23 million, didn't it?
Yeah.
You know, which is a huge number. Because I remember watching that and you know, the whole family sat there glued to it, and everybody in the UK was. So I'm not surprised it was all Christmas specials and stuff like that, because that's probably where the numbers were.
ITV obviously went with the Bond films, and I mean, BBC still showed, like, what was that I mentioned earlier? Charlie Brown Christmas was on one year.
Yeah. I downloaded that off iTunes.
This is BBC Two, because the Fighter 7 film was Dersu Uzala, a Russian film, so that was BBC Two back then.
Nick. Oh, they were quite highbrow at one point, weren't they? Mm. Well, change days now that we've got. If you've just got free TV, you've got access to, what, 40 channels? And as I said, on a normal day, in a normal evening, you could probably see about 10 films. Now, add to that, we've now got access to films on the internet, DVDs rented. You've got the DVDs you'll get for presents. Like in the PlayStation, now we've got Love Film connectivity. It's now giving you BBC iPlayer, so you can watch movies. You've also got ITV and Channel 4 players on there. Although if you're in an ITV region like Scotland, even if ITV players on your PlayStation, you can't get anything. But all these different streams of content.
And everybody has PVRs and Sky Plus, so you'll have a hard drive full of films that you've been saving as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at this year's big films on BBC. And on Christmas Day, it's Shrek the Third.
Hmm.
On Boxing Day, it's Enchanted. Yeah, I know. And then after that, you're into the realms of the Incredibles and Chicken Run and.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, and Lemony Snicket and stuff like that.
Hmm.
Maybe we just remember things being better than they were, and maybe, you know, in 20 years' time, when the kids of today sat down, they'll be talking about Shrek the Third as a Christmas film.
I guarantee you not, because that's what I mean. I think it's so easy for people to skirt over films they don't like nowadays. There's always another option to watch something else, something better. I guess in a way that's good, because it does filter out the crap a bit more, but and it doesn't stop it being made. But it means that, so maybe something about The Great Escape being on every year was the best that was available, and we just watched it again and again because the rest of the choice was so rubbish.
Yeah, but I don't know. People still migrate to watching films, and you know, you will sit down sometimes and watch whatever's on.
I was just trying to know the ITV, and they have another Bond film on. So ITV is probably the one we remember most. Because I mean, just seeing BBC, none of us were actually thinking, oh, yeah, that'd be good. Whereas ITV, Spy Who Loved Me, Bed Knobs and Broomsticks.
What year was the Spy Who Loved Me on?
Airplane 2. This was 86, this one.
Because when was that made? That must have been 1980-ish. Surely. So it took them 6 years to show The Spy Who Loved Me.
Yeah. Although it might have been on the year before and probably the Easter before as well. I mean, I always remember, I've not seen Sound of Music on here yet. And yeah, I always remember Sound of Music was on at Christmas.
The other thing to remember as well is TV channels back then didn't really race to buy the latest series or the latest film to show it as soon as they could. They had to wait a lot longer. There wasn't as much money or it wasn't much of a race in those days, especially in the UK with only the four channels.
So what year did Sky come into play then?
92, was it? When I'm thinking, I don't know how many, I mean, they've had a couple of movie channels probably. I think 92 was when Sky Football, you know, football turned around.
Yeah.
So 92, there was cable as well. I remember having cable, and you'd have a couple of movie channels. It's become a chat about nostalgic TV memories, which is what Christmas is. Christmas is about nostalgic memories.
It is, because I was watching a comedian actually tonight, Michael McIntyre, and he was talking about actually what Christmas involves, and now it's all these traditions that actually, most of which we hate.
I think a lot of that is falling to the wayside as well. I know my mum and my brothers, they're going to have a curry on Christmas Day now.
Oh, that's cool.
I think they're obviously getting bolognese this year. I'm sure as Joshua gets a little bit older, it'll change again and we'll go back to making him go through all the nonsense we don't like. So it must be some kind of...
It's like a cult, isn't it?
You've got a kid, you're five, you think, oh, we must start making him really hate Christmas by the end of the day.
Yeah.
And then when he gets to 15, he'll say, actually, we can work for a curry if you want.
Yeah. You've we can just go for a
film.
Yeah, we're going to take away and get pissed.
Yeah.
It's fine. Where were we?
Christmas films that aren't Christmas films, but we saw them back in the day at Christmas time.
And you know what? I now think that's even with your little piece of going back to the films that were on back then. That's now become really confusing to me.
Yeah, I think it's because I've only got both of the BBC. I've only got two ITV listings, and they both had one from 81 and one from 86. And they both had Bond films on. So I'm guessing ITV is what we watched film-wise, because they had the Bond, they had the... Not found. And I'm only looking at Christmas Day. I mean, Boxing Day was a big day as well.
Yeah, it was.
Hmm.
It was all part of Christmas.
That's kind of... I'm still kind of reeling a little bit from that. I expected to be hearing about all those films we associate with Christmas. I expect you to be reeling them off and saying that was that. That was on 81, 82, 83. But I don't know. That's weird. Maybe we just sought them out. Maybe we had a DVD of them and we sought them out to watch them because everything else was so rubbish.
But it was rubbish. And the thing is, I don't remember Christmas TV being crap. I remember it being fantastic.
Yeah, I don't know. I remember Christmas being looking at it better than it was.
Yeah.
You know, now we're like 20, 28, aren't we?
Yeah. Yourself, you old man.
Now we're much older than that. And back then we were young and carefree and the wind in our hair and joy in our hearts and love for everybody.
We just weren't cynical like we are now.
No.
Cynical old.
Have we got anything else to say about Christmas movies?
All three of us picked a version of Christmas Carol, which I thought was quite interesting. Whether it's the Muppets one, the Scrooged one, the Alistair Sim one. Is that the film that sums up Christmas for us?
Well, if you're doing it maths, then obviously it would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Because that has the most votes from us all.
Yeah, which I thought was one of the most interesting things about three lists, the fact that it all had a version of Christmas Carol in.
And do they all have a Muppet film?
They do, yeah.
Two for Christmas Carol and one for, was it Family Christmas?
Yeah, Muppet Family Christmas.
That's interesting.
Yeah, there's something about that. And I have to say, kudos to Stephen, because he picked a great TV program, which is about Christmas, which is Charlie Brown's Christmas.
I've never seen that. I was never a Charlie Brown fan when I was young.
Yeah. And I think what made that better, I mean, I'm thinking back now, but Charlie Brown was a miserable kid. I didn't want to be a miserable git, but every time he tried not to be, something came along that made him.
And is that how you feel nowadays? Is it Steve?
Like it. He's more about the commercialisation of all Christmas. Although I was looking at it today, and it's a film about the commercialisation of Christmas. I know it's wrong. But if you check on Wikipedia, it turns out that Coca-Cola sponsored it. And if you watch the film now, it fades out at the end, so you don't hear the sponsor saying Coca-Cola. So for all its anti-commercialisation, it's sponsored by Coca-Cola, or it was originally. But it's,
well, isn't Christmas?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it ends with a carol. I mean, it's a great little ending. Charlie Brown has a tree that just every time he touches it, leaves fall off.
Yeah, I remember that.
And at the end, they decorate it, it's perfect. They all sing, I think they sing out the Herald, and... of it fades, you think, well, Coca-Cola. But up until then, it's such a great film.
And then out from the undergrowth runs Bruce Willis in a vest, shooting German terrorists, screaming, Happy Holidays.
There's also, and we'll just mention this briefly rather than dwelling on it, there's a nativity scene in Charlie Brown, and I think that's the only one of all the films we've picked. I've never seen Love, actually. I'm trying to forget Elf. I'm really trying to get Scrooged, so maybe they do have a nativity scene. But
well, Love Actually does have a nativity scene. I can't think of the other ones if they have any nativity scenes.
No, I don't think Elf does it?
I don't think so. I can't remember now why, but Elf and Scrooged are just awful. I think we did Scrooge last year.
We did.
I didn't like Scrooged and.
Yeah, because it's lighthearted and fun, and you don't like that. You're Charlie Brown.
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple of French films that have been released in the past 5 or 6 years. Both Christmas films, both leading up to Christmas Day. I won't give you the French names, but one's called Merry Christmas, and the other one is A Christmas Tale. Merry Christmas is about the ceasefires during Christmas Eve, Christmas Day in the trenches in World War I.
Joyeux Noël, is it?
Yeah. I think it's that one. And then A Christmas Tale is the one that was released a couple of years ago with...
Oh, come on. Classic French actress.
Yeah.
Can you not remember?
No. Deneuve, I can't...
Yes.
A Christmas Tale is the one with her, and it's her family, and they're all getting together for Christmas. Neither of them give you any sense of Christmas spirit in the A Merry Christmas, the World War I one, that you realise that it's futile. It ends where the powers that be find out about it, and they're all getting moved around, and back to 4 years of massacre. The Christmas Tales are, in a way, probably the most Christmas. It's about a family of that don't necessarily get on, that are dysfunctional as you could be. They've got all the troubles that come with family. And they get together, they have Christmas, and then they leave. And it's only Christmassy, and in a way, it's very Christmassy. I mean, they're all watching a Christmas film on the telly at one point. They fight, they eat. They're both fantastic films, yet I will not class them in a way as being Christmas films. But both worth seeing.
Yeah, and very grown-up Christmas films, actually, because there's a lot of reality in them.
Yeah.
Which is...
And I just thought it was worth a mention, because, I mean, the great Christmas films, I think, with them being French, we'll not get them on the telly here. Like you said, the story's a bit more hard-hitting than the fun that we probably generally get. And the Christmas message isn't necessarily a happy one at the end of it, but then Christmas is...
I'm frantically trying to remember a Christmas film that, when you talked about A Christmas Tale, it came to me. And I'm trying to remember... I can visualise the actor. Okay, so I'm going to have to look up Poltergeist. This is how usually when I forget a film, I'll remember that one of the actors was in something else, and that's how I'll trace it. So I have to go to Poltergeist first. Believe me, this is a Christmas one. It's going to get there. You go to Poltergeist. You've got Craig T. Nelson. Nobody with me yet?
No.
Ah, The Family Stone.
Is that a Christmas film?
It is, because it's about a family getting together at Christmas, the annual Christmas celebration. And I think it plays over three Christmases, maybe. It's got Claire Danes, Diane Keaton, Rachel McAdams, great actress, Dermot Mulroney, Craig T. Nelson, Sarah Jessica Parker, Luke Wilson, and some other names. Dysfunctional family, the wrong people end up getting together with the wrong ones. And it's a really heart-wrenching ending, and it's like that. It's a reality of Christmas as well. So you get all the fun and all the jokiness of a Hollywood comedy, but at the core of it comes the harsh reality of life, and it replays over two Christmases, and it's very reflective, very, very moving, actually. I did think I cried a little. Not that that's supposed to really freak you out or anything into silence.
What film is this?
It's called The Family Stone. Go and look it up.
I've never heard of that.
Well, I'd never.
My wife has seen The Family Stone. But...
Sorry, say that again?
Not a band called Sly and the Family Stone. That's all I've heard.
There is a band called that, yes.
The Family Stone.
A long time back. Oh, actually, yeah. You know, Sarah Jessica Parker is even quite inoffensive in it.
That's amazing. It's worth watching just for that, then.
But Rachel McAdams is in it. She's not only lovely, but a great actress. And Claire Danes.
Yeah.
And why am I picking out the women? Anyway.
Yeah.
I was just about to say Luke Wilson, but then that, what would that have said about me?
That's quite enjoyable. But I think it mixes quite well the kind of Hollywood side of Christmas with the harsh reality of Christmas. And it's quite a sad one and happy at the same time. So, are we going to say then the top, should we go for two probably definitive Christmas films are?
I think we'd have to go more than two because we are not going to agree with me and Matt.
I know what you're going for. Hold on. You just want Die Hard in that list.
Well, oh, no, you know, Steve and Rich, you know, we could split the difference on this one to save arguments. And instead of picking Die Hard, we could pick Die Hard 2.
Well, there's more snow in Die Hard 2.
There is.
There's a lot more snow in Die Hard 2, yes. It's just frozen rain. It doesn't mean it's Christmas. It could be in freak weather conditions.
The Christmas Carol should be on our list.
Let's not say what should be on our list. Let's do it mathematically. We all chose our favourite. So let's say we all chose, I've forgotten what we all chose now, A Christmas Carol in some version. Sorry, is that what you just said?
Yeah.
Well, I said it as well.
You can cut the bit where I said it out and then just...
It's more important when I say it, you see.
Indeed. The leader's got to be seen as leading.
Not just fumbling around blindly.
Well, that's where the whole leading audio cast is, and it just sounds better when it's edited. I think we're going to have to say, although it's kind of the same film, a Muppet film would definitely make Christmas.
Yeah.
Scrooge or Scrooged, it's the same story.
Yeah.
Although it's the same story, but one of them is a good film, one of them is not.
In Your Eyes.
Christmas isn't a comedy with somebody that you don't like. And even when he turns around, you still don't like Bill Murray.
Did you just say Christmas isn't a comedy with someone you don't like?
Yeah, I'm on about Scrooge, and I'm meaning Bill Murray.
I was going to say, well, that describes a lot of people's Christmases.
Well, yeah, Christmas movies.
I see, yes.
yeah.
So you'd rather Scrooge wasn't in there?
Scrooge, I wouldn't. Well, I mean, the both of you, did you pick it, Matt?
No, I didn't, actually. I picked the Alistair Sim one, because that for me is the best version by far.
Okay, so I think we're going to see A Christmas Carol and a Muppet film.
Yeah.
I know you guys are going to pick out Gremlins and Die Hard.
I'd rather Die Hard.
Rather than Die Hard or anything like that, I'd probably go for National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, because that's the only one that kind of has, you know, has squabbling families in it. And
I'd be happy with that.
Okay. So now we're saying, I should write this down, shouldn't I? A Christmas Carol, a Muppet film. I didn't mean to press enter, so it to go bloop. And then what would you decide on there? National Lampoon's
Christmas Vacation, yeah. Also, Matt did pick Chevy Chase's Super Smashing. Oh no, you picked National Lampoon as well.
I did.
Did you think you picked Fletch?
No. It's not a god, so.
Surely there's a bit of tinsel in there or something. You could say
I still think you're both lying to me, and yeah, really, really don't like
Fletch is for life, not just for Christmas. Let's get that straight.
Okay, so we've got one more to choose. I think, personally, Love Actually.
No, you don't.
I do, actually. Yeah. No, I do.
Really?
Yeah. That's why I said it, Stephen.
Yeah, but you didn't even pick it.
I did.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
I'm probably just reading your early draft.
Oh, actually, do you know what? I don't think I pasted it in there. No, generally, if you look at the Facebook message, you'll see I've got Love Actually on it.
Yes, you have, actually. Yeah, fair play.
So it is mentioned twice. Mark, do you think Love Actually? Well, I think you do.
I do, yeah, because it is a great film. But, and not going to re-go over old ground here, I think...
But you are.
I'm going to, yeah. I think Die Hard should be in there, so Love Actually.
Instead of?
Yeah.
I think Home Alone.
It doesn't even have a nativity scene.
Oh, for the love of God. It doesn't have to be a Christmas film. I thought we'd established that.
No, it just needs German terrorists and lots of gun action.
Then yeah. Home Alone before Love Actually. Then. And Home Alone I've just recalled as a nativity scene in it as well.
It does, actually.
Damn it! Well, actually, you know, I would... how many times have you said actually in this podcast, I wonder?
Mm. Including Love Actually, or just
about... Just a word in its own, whether it's with love or not. I find Home Alone a much more inoffensive option than Die Hard. So I would, if you're going to tell me that the next one has to be Die Hard or Home Alone, I would go with Home Alone.
What would you pick, Stephen?
Home Alone. Before Die Hard.
See, I'd pick Love Actually before Home Alone.
Well, so would I.
Well, there you go, then.
Well, you've ended up putting Love Actually in, even though you think it should be Die Hard, because you don't want it to be Home Alone. We've suddenly become some kind of... We are Cameron and...
No, we're not Cameron and Clegg at all.
And as Richard is the leader, it should be Love Actually. As he's just already typed. He's already Cameron.
He has as well.
As soon as he thought, oh yes.
As soon as you two were distracted with each other.
It's in there, is it?
I just fired it in, so to speak. No, but to be fair, Mark did say Love Actually over Home Alone. I said, if we have to choose between Die Hard or Home Alone, I choose Home Alone first out of those two. But I would choose Love Actually over those.
Yeah, I think from what the three of us, then yes, it would be Love Actually. The Film Stalker listeners and readers, I'm quite sure, will pick Die Hard and Home Alone.
No, they won't. I have faith in them. For Christmas films. Now, if we're talking sheer entertainment, Die Hard's way up that list, if not top.
No, I'm saying Christmas. If you ask them what is Christmas...
I know what you're saying.
Top three Christmas films, they put Die Hard before Love Actually. But you were spoken, Love Actually is our number four film. Why have we picked four?
You keep making it sound like it's a dictatorship.
Are you telling me it's not?
I'm telling you, it's not a dictatorship.
And it's not a dictatorship.
Mark and me,
Love Actually. Okay, so we still have one more to go. So what's the next one?
Oh, all that, we could have had two. Home Alone.
Well, we've still got one more. One, two, three. So you went Home Alone. Next. Mark?
I will do, but it's just such a shit film.
Yeah.
That's the problem I've got with it. I've got no, you know.
Actually, there's only me picked Home Alone, so I probably shouldn't be on. Two of us have picked Gremlins. So maybe Gremlins should be the fifth one.
Yeah, I'm happy with Gremlins, without a doubt.
Okay. So, that pop signifies that we have our top five. And in true Top of the Pops... There were Top of the Pops Christmas specials, weren't there?
What? Yep.
So in true Top of the Pops Christmas specials, in fifth place we have Gremlins. Fourth place we have Love Actually. Oh, I was waiting for a groan there. Third place we have National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Second place, A Muppet Film. Preferably a Christmas one.
Oh yeah, I thought it was A Muppet Family Christmas. No, A Muppet Christmas Carol it should be.
Well no, because the first one is one of the Christmas Carol versions. Whether it be a Muppet one or the original one.
Hmm. I don't think that's a bad list.
I don't think that's too bad, no.
And it's interesting that what's widely cited as the best Christmas film ever, It's a Wonderful Life, isn't in there.
That is interesting, actually.
Because it didn't crop up in the conversation once.
No, and to be fair, that's because you two ripped me to shreds for picking it before.
No, we didn't rip you to shreds.
Yeah.
I think we were just...
Friendly banter.
You was trying to say that you could pull Die Hard and Home Alone out of the Christmas and still have a film, and we said you could do the same when It's a Wonderful Life. And It's a Wonderful Life is it's a wonderful film, but, I mean, it's not something I want to watch on Christmas Day.
Well, no, because, well, and yeah, and you brought up two Christmas films, well, one Christmas film especially that you might not want to watch on Christmas Day, because it's not exactly joyous and happy, the Joyeux Noël.
Yeah, that's why I saved them just for an afterthought. Great films, but not necessarily.
Yeah, but Stephen, if you thought you could get away with it without any ridicule, you'd have picked them. You'd have picked those two and one about a German donkey that's filmed for 4 hours that walks around the place with tinsel on its head.
And I thought we would be aiming.
Although, to be fair, we do make... one of you, but you've chosen some excellent films.
Yeah,
for us to watch.
I do think the best films have been mine.
Yeah, well, to be fair, with the Mr. Cronenberg factory that is Richard Brunton, it's not that hard.
Two films, just two, for God's sake.
But two of the things we've ever had to sit through.
There wasn't much choice, and I was trying to choose something that none of us seen before and be freaking different. Ooh, that story. One minute you're having a go at me for choosing all the traditionally great Christmas films. The next minute you're having a go at me for trying to choose something different.
Yeah, you can choose something different. Stephen does that, but they're not rubbish.
That's because he's seen them before. He knows I chose stuff I hadn't seen.
That's the risk factor, you see.
Yeah, in that case, Richard, we're going to ban you from doing that. It's just not worth the risk, is it? It's obvious.
Enjoy the audio cast by yourselves then. I'm going to go in the corner and cry.
So it's Balthazar next then, right? We'll get that donkey film shown.
I'll give you a donkey film.
Oh, I.
Not a lot of Christmas feeling in that one. Anyway, so we have now chosen our top list. I think we can say our Christmas audio cast is well and truly wrapped up. So I did. I just thought of that.
Really? I said you should have had that for a week or two.
I mean, honestly, it just popped into my head. Oh, I can't believe it. So here's what to do. If you're buying anyone an MP3 player of any description for the Christmas, you've got to download some Filmstock or Audiocast and drop them on there. Because then they'll listen to them, hate it so much, they won't use it, and you can get it for free. That's not true at all. I'm being a bit overly harsh about our audiocasts.
People have heard for lots of emails saying, what is this great donkey film that Stephen
Yes! Okay, well then, well, it just remains to say thanks again to Stephen and Mark for joining this audiocast, this Christmas special audiocast. So that means, guys, you've got to have a cracking great Christmas and a fantastic new year.
You too.
Ho, ho, hope you have one as well, Richard and Steve.
Oh, you had to get a diehard thing in there, didn't you? All right, so thank you very much for listening to the audiocast, and I hope you guys that listen to Film Stalker and read Film Stalker have a cracking Christmas, or happy holidays, as they say in America, and a brilliant new year, and we'll speak to you soon and see you on the site even sooner. Bye. Yeah, join in, guys.
Bye.
There you go.
You tell me another film with a roller skating rabbi in that's as good as that, and you know what? You'd be a genius.
You tell me any film with a skating rabbi in it.
Well, there you go.
Actually, I'm going to do a quick Google search to see. Skating rabbi.
Yes.
Surely that's an IMDb tag.
Anyway, Fletch has popped up quite a few times. The Frisco Kid.
What, as a roller skating rabbi?
Hold on, hold on. In Poland of 1850, recently ordained, sweet-natured ice skating rabbi Avram Belinsky, Gene Wilder. There you go. Frisco Kid. You thought it could be done.
Yeah, fair enough.
Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to everyone who's visited Filmstalker for the past 12 months. And we'll see you next year in 2011.